Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Joining us right now on the Westar Hotline, the Chief of Infectious Disease, University at Buffalo, Dr. Thomas Russo. Dr. Russo, it's Howard and Sal. Nice to have you on our show again, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Good morning, gentlemen.
So happy phase three, Dr. Russo. I didn't send a card, but you know, I'll just give you that wish on the radio. So from our standpoint here in New York State, phase three, the big thing is, right, limited capacity for indoor dining. Are we at the right point here in Erie County and in the state to move into phase three, in your opinion?
So we're definitely at the right point to try this. You know, our cases are at an all-time low since the beginning of this outbreak. We've been doing a great job, but so far in phase one and two, it's been a little bit more like minor league ball, right? Easier activities, outdoor, it's safer. Now we're going to have a greater test. We're going to the big leagues here, mm-hmm. where we're going to have both indoor activities and activities where certain individuals are not going to be wearing masks as well.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about that, but let me backtrack for a second. Coming out of Memorial Day weekend, there was some concern that, you know, we might see a spike in the cases. It was the holiday weekend. The weather was nice. We were all stuck indoors for 2 months. Has there been any indication that that was an issue?
Yeah, unlike other parts of the country, we did great. We didn't have a bump in our cases at all. And, you know, hats off to Western New York. You know, the combination of people behaving and following public health measures and outdoor activities, I really think is the reason why we kept things down and under control.
So the wearing of the masks and where we go from here, this is one of the things I really was curious about and why I wanted to get you on the show. I think there's just a natural reaction, Dr. Russo, when you hear, hey, look where the cases are, and you're hearing positive news from the governor in his daily briefings, and we're in summer, and the weather's nice, and I think we're in phase three now, and there might be a tendency for people to think, all right, we made it. We're good. We licked this thing. And maybe then there's a relaxing of wearing the mask or washing the hands. Do you see any of that happening? And if not, is that a concern that people would think, okay, I made this, and they might kind of ease off a little bit?
Yeah, well, that's such an important point. And I can understand how people feel that way because, you know, sort of COVID's been a little off the news. Yep. Our cases are at all-time low. We say, it's all good here in Western New York. We've gotten through this. We had all our cases already. But we are still really in the early phases of this. Only a small fraction of Western New York has been infected, less than 10%. So most of us are still susceptible to the virus. We cannot be lackadaisical. We have to keep our guard up. And if we don't, we're going to have a bump in cases and we're going to head backwards in some of these activities that we're so looking forward to.
Have you seen in your own day-to-day interactions or maybe even talking to other medical experts and everybody, is anybody noticing different behavioral patterns from people?
Yeah, I'm seeing, you know, early on I wasn't seeing as much mask use as I was hoping for, and I thought it would actually get worse, but it seems to be actually getting better. I think people are starting to adjust. I think they're getting used to the new lifestyle. I think they appreciate the importance in masks and distancing and hand hygiene and keeping them safe. And so I'm encouraged. I'm an optimist, but I'm encouraged, and I think the low number of cases we've had is reflective of that as a population and community, we're really doing a good job.
At what point, when do we reach the point where it would be safe to say you don't have to wear a mask anymore?
I think that'll be when we get a vaccine that's highly protective and we're able to get the majority of the population vaccinated. We're still a ways away from that. I think we're looking at, in best case scenario, somewhere early 2021.
Wow. Is now, you know, one of the things I want to ask you about, the spike in cases, not necessarily in New York State, but in maybe a dozen states or so, they have seen a spike. And that's not, there was always talk that people were, the medical experts were expecting a so-called second wave of the virus in the fall. This is not the second wave, is it?
No, this isn't really the second wave. This is sort of a continuation of the virus across the country. You know, it's even here in Western New York, it's still like a snake in the grass. It's out there, and if we let our guard down with these public health measures, it's going to rise up and bite us. And these other states where they still had lower or moderate number of cases or cases on the rise, and they relax measures in terms of getting out. Most of these states do not have mandatory mask usage, or people are rebelling against using masks. And this is the predictable result, that they're having a significant increase in number of cases.
I want to ask you about the sports angle here in a second. Dr. Thomas Russo with us, University of Buffalo Chief of Infectious Disease. And getting fans back at sporting events. Well, actually, let's start with what the governor said the other day, July 6th. Limited youth sports can start. What about the impact of spectators at youth sporting events, and then we'll get into, you know, maybe fans getting back to games. Again, I take it the message would be you'll be fine as long as you wear your mask and keep your distance?
Absolutely. The use of masks and distancing is really the key here. And let me give you an example to sort of drive home this concept of masks. So there was two hairstylists in Missouri, both of which ended up being infected with the new coronavirus. And they were in close quarters, and they were giving haircuts and doing the hair thing to over 140 clients. And the clients also were required to wear masks. So everyone was wearing masks. Everyone was, when they weren't getting their haircut, greater than 6 feet. Zero infections. And so this is just one of many examples of how masks get it done. So we need to apply this to all situations, including if you're a spectator at the game, even if you're outdoors. You know, using the mask if you're going to be in the zip code of someone is really prudent and a good idea.
With sports, Dr. Russo, I think there are two things here. One is fans and the other certainly is players. So let me ask you this. In terms of, you know, we're seeing stories now, some college athletes that have returned for workouts at campuses across the country have tested positive. There was a story yesterday that some players on the Dallas Cowboys and Houston Texans had tested positive. When it comes to, you know, I think it's easier with golf, with tennis, there's distancing involved as opposed to basketball, hockey, football, contact sports. How do you make the contact sports work? Let's start there, then we'll get the fans. How do you make those contact sports work while, you know, they're not going to play wearing masks and you can't maintain social distance in those sports?
Yeah, that's going to be a really huge challenge for contact sports. And I think that professional sports that have lots of resources, like, say, the National Football League, they could do expansive testing. They could cohort and segregate their players to try to minimize the risk of infection. This is going to be much more difficult, though, for college sports and other venues where they don't have the resources to do an extraordinarily aggressive testing program, keep players separated, have food brought into them, that sort of thing. Just think about, two sets of down linemen facing each other for 60 minutes without masks, right? I mean, if one of those individuals is infected, the rest of them are going to be toast, right? So this is a difficult situation. We need to make sure that those players that are on the field are not infected, and that takes resources and money.
Yeah, and I think, if you think about it too, Dr. Russo, one of the things we were talking about, an NBA roster, you have less than 20, an NHL roster, a little over 20. Same thing in Major League Baseball. Now you get to the pro football, 50-plus guys. You get to the college football teams, and there's, 85 players on scholarship. It becomes more challenging for those sports in particular, right? More people, more tests, more possibilities of maybe the virus hitting somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. And, if you're a professional athlete, you could say, okay, I could deal with the concept that I may be cohorted or segregated, or I just leave, live a work-to-home existence. But if it's the college experience, right, where these players are used to going back on campus, interacting, perhaps partying a little bit here and there, you know, this is going to be a very difficult situation. And so we're going to have to see how this plays out. But I think it's going to carry significant risk.
And finally, fans. You know, what about fans? How do you go about? We're seeing stories now. You know, the governor of Texas the other day came out and said football games in his state will have a limited capacity of 50%. How do you go about working, if you're professional teams, college teams, working these formulas to figure out how many fans and how to set your stadium up for these fans?
Yeah, again, that's going to be a huge challenge. So we could all imagine the safest scenario is where there's no fans, right? If you try to spread them out, that assumes that fans are going to behave, they're going to maintain those distances. You know, six feet is the minimum, but there's nothing magical depending on the direction the wind is blowing. And, you know, when fans get excited, they generate a lot of respiratory secretions when they're shouting and cheering. And, of course, concession stands, bathrooms, when you enter and leave the stadium, tailgating, all of those are going to pose challenges in terms of getting people to, you know, be separate. If they're wearing masks, however, and if you get everyone to wear masks and maintain some semblance of social distancing, I think it's doable. The question is, will people buy into that?
Yeah, I'm wondering how you do that. I was going to say, I'm sure you would recommend that teams tell fans you've got to wear a mask. Now, you know, you're going to take it off to have your beer and your hot dog or whatever, but I assume you would say you have to start with fans would be required to wear masks going into the stadium or the arena.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and if it were me out there, even if someone was like, you know, 10, 12 feet away, particularly if, you know, they even if they had a mask on with a big fluffy beard that's not fitting very well and getting all pumped up over the, you know, the big play, I'll probably keep my mask on.
Dr. Thomas Russo with us, Chief of Infectious Disease, University at Buffalo, where, by the way, they announced yesterday that they're going to be getting students back on campus or for some in-person learning. Dr. Russo, thanks again for coming on the show. Appreciate you giving us some time this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Take care.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.